Welcome to the CJK Fire and Safety Education Podcast. CJK Fire and Safety is a specialist consultancy based in Far North Queensland, Australia. Specialising in fire safety, the business director and accredited fire safety engineer, Christina Knorr, acts as a special expert witness in legal cases across the nation. This includes developing litigation compliant reports and being engaged for court cases within the construction stream of the legal industry. Join us at CJK Fire and Safety Education, where we discuss hot topics regarding fire safety in Australia. In this month's CJK Fire and Safety Education podcast, we are discussing events surrounding the fire at Grenfell Tower on June 14, 2017. Previously, we have discussed the 2012 Bankstown fire and the 2014 La Crosse fire, so this is the third and most devastating apartment fire. This catastrophe claimed the lives of 72 people and left lasting scars, both physically and psychologically, on hundreds more. We are your hosts, Emily Knox.
And Jasmine Matthews.
So let's start with some background on the Grenfell fire.
The Grenfell Tower, a 25-storey residential block located in North Kensington, London, became the site of one of the deadliest fires in modern British history. The fire broke out in the early hours of the morning and rapidly engulfed the tower. As the flames consumed the building, its residents were trapped and desperate for help.
Fire and rescue services are trained to respond to fires in residential high-rise buildings, but the scale and speed of this fire was incredible, and it was made worse by a complete failure of the building's fire safety measures to perform effectively. These failures set in motion a chain reaction of devastation that will never be forgotten.
One critical factor that contributed to the rapid spread of fire was the cladding used on the tower's facade. Expert witness Dr. Barbara Lane stated in her report that the rain screen cladding assembly, together with the insulation fitted to the existing external wall and the missing or defective barriers, became part of a successful combustion process.
As we've discussed previously, the ACPs have a flammable polyethylene core that has been described by experts to be more flammable than petrol. As the fire tore through the tower, the cladding helped carry the flames from floor to floor without any fire breaks to contain the blaze. The implications of this cladding choice were devastating, weren't they?
Absolutely. The materials used did not meet the necessary fire safety standards. Other contributing factors included ineffective fire doors, failed smoke extraction systems, the fire brigade not having the building plans, the lack of building signage, no evacuation plan, and there was no requirement for a sprinkler system in the building.
I think it's crazy that these buildings don't have sprinkler systems.
Can you imagine?
And there's no requirement to have them.
Can you imagine being in a building with no sprinklers?
I know. I'm so glad they're now a requirement in high-rise apartments in Australia. Since the fire, the victims and emergency responders have filed civil claims against defendants, including Arconic, the US metals giant that made the combustible cladding.
Fire tests carried out as early as 2014 show that the cladding used on the Grenfell Tower failed to meet the safety standards originally claimed by its manufacturer, according to a BBC investigation. It is alleged that in 2011, Arconic warned a Spanish customer not to use its PE panels because they achieved the low fire performance rating E, which the customer remarked was close to spontaneous combustion.
What's also interesting is that news reports claim that the head of technical sales support team for Arconic was sent a report about the 2014 cladding fire in the Melbourne La Crosse building that warned about the speed and intensity of the fire spread. So they knew that the fire not only could happen, but did happen.
Shocking. Grenfell Testimony Week was held last month from the 23rd to the 26th of January, 2024. The closed event was part of a settlement agreement following the civil litigation brought by the bereaved survivors and residents. Representatives from 22 of the companies that many of those affected believe were responsible attended the event to acknowledge and listen to the victims. The final report from the public inquiry is due to be released this year.
As always, in the aftermath of devastation comes considerable reform, which are initiated to prevent such tragedies from reoccurring.
In Australia, the regulations regarding the use of cladding on buildings have been strengthened. The Building Code of Australia, which sets out the minimum requirements for building design, construction and performance, has undergone updates to address fire safety concerns associated with cladding.
An example of this is found in Volume 1, Part 2, Fire Resistance and Stability. It sets out the types of fire-resisting construction based on building height, size, use, fire-resistant levels and fire hazard properties, which describe how certain materials react in fire. It specifies that when bonded laminated materials, such as cladding, are used, each lamina, including any core, must be deemed non-combustible.
To help you understand this, CJK has developed a three-part course on combustibility and fire resistance. So please, head over to cjkfireandsafety.com.au for course and enrolment information.
Other changes include some states in Australia banning certain types of combustible cladding, such as aluminium composite panels with the flammable polyethylene core.
Yes, some states have also implemented cladding rectification programs to address buildings with non-compliant and potentially hazardous cladding, such as Project Remediate in New South Wales and the Victorian Cladding Task Force.
So, while it's all well and good to say cladding needs to be replaced, this rectification comes at a cost, and deciding who will fit the bill leads to lengthy and costly mediation and legal action. Building owners and relevant stakeholders should consult legal professionals to understand the specific requirements and options available to them.
Our expert witness, Christina Knorr, is engaged on many such cases, so please contact us or ask your legal counsel to contact us for further information.
As we continue to learn from the ongoing Grenfell Tower inquiry, it is evident that this tragic event has reshaped fire safety practices globally.
The lessons learned have prompted a critical examination of building regulations, materials, and compliance, making fire safety a top priority.
Thank you for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to the CJK Fire and Safety Education podcast.
CJK Fire and Safety hosts a range of educational resources on fire safety and engineering topics, explained in an easy and understandable way. We invite you to enrol in our interactive online courses. All courses have a completion certificate and may contribute to your continuing professional development points. Visit our website at cjkfireandsafety.com.au to learn more.